Here on Tuesday, January 3rd, we welcome you back to the CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. Happy New Year, Darst.
Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Adam Azer here with J. Darren Darst, and we have a special guest today. We have Don Kausler, the Alabama beat writer for the Birmingham News, the Mobile Press Register, and the Huntsville Times. We'll have an LSU beat writer on for tomorrow's show, but today we are talking Tide, Alabama and LSU. Getting closer and closer, Darst.
I know, we're getting real close. I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to this game or not.
Oh, come on.
I'm not.
Well, we want it to be a little bit more high scoring. Yesterday we had the Rose Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl. So, Don, welcome to the show. My first question for you. We had a 9-6 game on November 5th. How many times would Alabama and LSU have to play to combine for 83 points like Wisconsin and Oregon did yesterday?
Well, I do think there will be a few more points scored this time around, but it's if you're going to look for a Baylor-like game, it could take 10 times for them to have to play to get up in that range.
Real quick, are there any injuries we need to be aware of in this game?
No, that it's Alabama has a player or two that sustained a season-ending injury. A couple of freshmen, Cyrus Kwanjo, who played the first eight games, he had knee surgery and was a key backup. Dee Hart was a five-star freshman that was injured in the summer and has not played at all this season. But there were several players that were banged up as the season went along, including in or before or after that LSU game. And they all appear to be very healthy right now.
Oh, that is definitely good to know. So let's look back at the first game and then talk about going forward for the national championship game. What adjustments are the Alabama Crimson Tide going to make for this rematch?
Well, it's if they're going to make changes, I think they're going to be subtle and very small tweaks. That it's, that game went overtime the last time, so it's not like they've got to go back to the drawing board and make radical changes. I do think both teams approach that is that their strengths were on defense. And because of that, they were pretty conservative in the way they approached it offensively. And I think you're going to see both teams loosen it up a little bit there and, maybe some more first-down passes. They got the ball in Trent Richardson's hands five times as a pass receiver and had quite a bit of success. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see Richardson used as a receiver even more this time around.
Don, I'm going to be negative Nancy here for just a moment, okay? So bear with me. If Alabama wins this game, in my eyes, I see now two teams that played each other and each team won once. Do you see anything like that, or do you see Alabama as the national champions?
Well, it's the national championship game, but it means more than a regular season game. So, of course, I think the winner of this game should be recognized as the national champion. I mean, if they both have won once, but one game meant more, I'm going to go with that game that meant more.
Do you see any claim for Oklahoma State if Alabama wins for a split national championship? Do you think that's a legit claim at all?
No, I don't. That it's if Oklahoma State had blown out Stanford, that might have gotten some people's attentions, but I think anybody that's paid real close attention to college football this year could see that if Oklahoma State or pretty much any other team were put on the same field with either LSU or Alabama, that it would probably be a pretty one-sided game.
Yeah, I actually kind of agree with that, Darst.
I don't.
Because I think Oklahoma State had their chance last night, and last night, of course, being Monday. It's Tuesday right now, the 3rd. And they should have lost that game. If they're not dealing with a freshman kicker for Stanford, they lose that game.
No, I agree with Don. What he's saying, too, is I agree the split national championship is out of the picture because I agree Oklahoma State needed to come out and win by a good amount, maybe win by 20 points to really prove they didn't do that. So yeah. I have a feeling they'll pick up first place votes in the AP poll, but they have no right to a split national champion.
I don't think it's restricted to Oklahoma State, that it's I thought Stanford was equally as good, and if they had blown out Oklahoma State, I think they could have made the same claim that Oklahoma State would have made, but it didn't happen.
That's a good point as well. Which secondary do you like better in this game, Alabama or LSU secondary?
I like them both. The LSU has a little bit more star power, big play potential, so I may give them the slight edge. But that's saying something because Alabama leads the nation in pass defense.
All right, well, real quick here. We talk about the scoring. We talk about the great defense. If Richardson doesn't have the big game, who's the scoring threat on the Alabama offense?
Well, Marquise Mays is a dynamic wide receiver, and he was one of the ones that was affected by a twisted ankle in that first game. He's running a lot better now, and I think he could make a big difference. That we saw Brad Smellie as a tight end develop as the season went on into a primary receiver for A.J. McCarron. And they've got some young receivers that are, you know, that no one single young receiver has emerged as the next Julio Jones, but it's like different players in different games, a Kenny Bell or Norwood and people like that. I think DeAndre White has had a good game or two that any one of them might be able to step up and make a big play.
Are you concerned at all with Alabama's field goal kicking because of the way it played the first time around against LSU? And do you think Saban may feel that way too?
Well, you have to be concerned with their long-distance field goal kicking. But I think Saban's a little stubborn in that regard. And I think if you see Alabama win the opening coin toss and march down the field and stall around the 30-yard line, I fully expect to see Cade Foster trotted out there yet again for a 47-yard field goal attempt. He had a bad game. You know, I'm not so sure that his leg wasn't a little bit dead at that point in the season, and I think this long layoff has probably worked in his advantage. He did sustain a concussion in the Ole Miss game, and I think there might have been some lingering effects from that as well.
So when you look at LSU, what should scare Alabama? I mean, they obviously didn't do much offensively, but I feel like they got a little bit better offensively throughout the season after that game, and boy, they really can run the ball. Anything offensively that should scare Alabama's defense at all?
I think if LSU, with Jordan Jefferson as the quarterback, runs a little bit more option, that it's Alabama looked very vulnerable against Georgia Southern, of all opponents, that at the start of the season that would have looked like their weakest opponent. And that might have been one of their most competitive games of the season outside of the LSU game. So that was a very big surprise, and Alabama was a little bit exposed by that triple option. So you're not going to see LSU throw out their regular offense and commit to a wishbone or anything, but it's, if you remember the overtime, that it's the key play was the 2nd and 7 on the second play where sort of a option read that Jefferson pitched Michael Ford, and Ford broke loose for a 15-yard run down the left sideline. So I look for more of that.
Can you compare this team with the 2009 national champions, and what do you think about this Alabama squad? How do they measure up with that team?
Very similar. You know, Greg McElroy was a first-year starting quarterback that season and developed as the season went on, and I think A.J. McCarron has developed as the season has progressed. They had a Heisman Trophy winner in the backfield 2 years ago. They had a Heisman finalist this year. But the key has been that was an outstanding defense 2 years ago, and this might be an even better defense this year.
Now, we hear all these stories about Nick Saban being this tyrant and everything. And you're closer to the team than most of us. What kind of relationship do the players have with Coach Saban?
I would not say it's warm and fuzzy, but I think it's close. That it's each one of them, is really going to treasure their experience of playing for him.
What kind of relationship do you have with Coach Saban?
A professional relationship. We're not best friends, but it's he doesn't like every question that I ask, but he answers it, and I appreciate that. Sometimes it surprises me that if he barks, that it's I've told him before, hey, if you don't like the question, just say no comment or dodge it or whatever. And he, to his credit, says in the position he's in that when he's asked the question, he feels obligated to give it an answer.
You know, we see Kirby Smart's name come up a lot in coaching rumors, and then, you know, people say, well, how much of a hand does he really have in the defense because of Nick Saban is there? What's your take on that situation? How much does the defensive coordinator control the defense? How much of it is Nick Saban?
Kirby Smart is Nick Saban Jr., and it's, I think early on, you might have said that he was riding Saban's coattails, but it's, I think it's all rubbed. What's going to rub off has rubbed off now, and I think Kirby is standing on his own. Saban is, he'll describe himself as a graduate assistant in a practice and working with the cornerbacks and the like, and it's, I think the two of them working together is a powerful combination. But during a game, if you watch the sidelines very closely, it's Kirby Smart that's out there orchestrating every move and hand signals and other signals to the defense that Saban is nearby. But it's Kirby that's making all the calls.
I wanted to get some insight on maybe the locker room a little bit for Alabama. Give me some of the emotional and the vocal leaders, some of the veterans that the team rallies around for this team.
Offensively, there's probably two offensive linemen that stand out. William Vlahos, a three-year starter at center, and Barrett Jones, the Outland Trophy winner at left tackle, another three-year starter that, you know, they're, Vlahos may be a little bit more vocal. They're both players that have been around a long time, lead by example, and they're both very intelligent, and when they speak, their teammates listen to them. Trent Richardson, I think, has really assumed more of a leadership role this year, too, and A.J. McCarron is growing into that pretty comfortably. On defense, I would say it'd be Dante Hightower and Mark Maron, who are the captains from last year that were left and have really surfaced as leaders this season.
Don, before we let you go and get your prediction, I want to go away from this game for just a little bit. It's almost signing day time. It's coming around the corner. How's recruiting going for Alabama?
It's looking like a blockbuster class, and they're not finished yet, but it's. I think this one's going to rival the 2008 superstar class that Saban signed in his second season here and might even be better. But it's they've already are loaded with a couple of five-star players and a boatload of four-stars. And there's several others out there that I think they're optimistic about.
And what about Deron Carter, the wide receiver who hasn't played this year? Is he going to be a big-time contributor next year?
That's a good question. We were a little bit puzzled on why he was not cleared academically, but he was out there practicing most of August and into early September, and then it just never worked out with his transcript from junior college. He has not been at practice lately, and that's a mystery that Saban won't comment on. So it's kind of a hard one to read right now.
And can we get a prediction? How are you feeling about this game, the Alabama-LSU National Championship from Alabama beat writer Don Kausler? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm still thinking, but it's I may change between now and then, but if I had to make the call today, I'd pick Alabama this time by about a field goal, and I think the score will be somewhere in the 20s, maybe 24-21 or somewhere around there.
Is there a reason? Because I think a lot of people are picking Alabama right now just from what I've heard, just talking to friends and whatever. I think people just think, how are you going to beat Alabama twice? Is there a particular reason why you think Alabama will have an edge this time around?
I just think that Alabama had they left more opportunities out there on the field than LSU did. That LSU won because they were able to finish. Alabama, those opportunities that they could not cash in on are really gnawing at them, and I think driving them as they prepare for this game. And I think you're going to see them close with a flourish this time.
That's Don Kausler, Alabama beat writer for the Birmingham News Mobile Press Register and the Huntsville Times. Happy New Year, Don. Thanks a lot for coming on. We really, really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
For J. Darren Darst, I'm Adam Azer. On tomorrow's show, we have Les East to talk LSU.